And this week, I'm joined by two correspondents who absolutely do not want to be here.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. My name's James. Welcome to another Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents. And this week, I'm joined by two correspondents who absolutely do not want to be here after 4-0 pastings last weekend. A note, we are pre-recording this on Monday. Who knows? Wolves might have a new manager by then. Firstly, let me introduce you to our Brentford correspondent, Tom Med. How are you, mate?
Miserable. How are you, mate?
Also a little bit, but having you two on might make me feel a bit better. And our Wolverhampton Wanderers correspondent, Bradley Parker's in. How are you, Bradley?
I'm great. I've got my drink of choice.
Oh, jeez. Right. For the benefit of the audio listeners, we do not recommend that anybody drinks bleach, but Bradley has a thing about bleach. Bradley, don't reach for the bleach, please, mate. Tom, we'll start with you first. Villa away. That should be a routine fixture at the moment. 4-0. What happened there, mate?
The Aston Villa owners decided to wait. Yeah, they could have waited one more week at least. It was just pretty shocking. I couldn't even tell you. It was so bad. It was one of the worst performances I've seen us play all year by far.
Ivan Tony called it a shambles.
I mean, that's an understatement of the year, I think. So it was depressing. Yeah, really poor. I don't really know what happened. I'm not sure whether they were still off a bit of a high of drawing 0-0 with Chelsea. But conceded 3 goals in the first 15 minutes. I mean, they just obviously weren't there at all. And even came out second half and you think, oh, at least they'll put in something and go for it. And it was exactly the same, really. Just a very, very bad day in the office.
It's the second big beating away from home in a row. You conceded 5 at Newcastle as well. And there were some haphazard moments in that fixture. I have this thing I keep saying that I have concerns about you in away games. I don't fancy you at all. Is there something in that? Is there any logic in my thinking or not? So I had a look back at the league table last year, away from home, and about 10th best away record or so. It wasn't that terrible. Where have I got this idea from?
I think this season it seems to have gone, it's been worse. I mean, the Newcastle game was just, it's on similar to this weekend, just a catastrophe of errors. Like, I mean, that was Pinnock's first game back as well, which, I know that was the Brighton, wasn't it? But, I mean, generally defensively just being awful, those two games in particular. But then if you compare it to the Chelsea game, defensively, we were incredible. So I'm not really sure. I don't think there is anything particular home versus away. I mean, obviously, our home support is really good and they do seem to get a good atmosphere, obviously, down at our stadium. So, but I don't know, really. I honestly couldn't answer the question for you.
Did you go into the Villa game thinking you'd win?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because I know you, obviously at home, you would fancy yourselves.
Yeah.
So there wasn't anything psychologically different for you, thinking, oh, it's a away game, we'll take a point, or?
No, to be honest, I was just like, especially the way Villa's been playing recently. I mean, they scored more goals in 15 minutes than they scored in like 409 minutes or something under Gerrard. And it's like, well, when you look at it like that and you see how we've been playing recently, I mean, if you look at sort of like, obviously the Brighton game, we played pretty well. The Chelsea game, I thought we were the better team. And then you go into Villa, who have been absolutely abysmal and lose 4-0. And, well, to be honest, lose 3-0 after 15 minutes. I think that's the biggest thing of it. I think it was one of those where they just completely came out of us at the start. And it just, I mean, the game was over after about 7 minutes, wasn't it? So, yeah, wasn't great. Wasn't enjoyable to watch.
Is it a concern for you going forward, though, thinking about it? Like, do you go to Forest in a couple of weeks? I know that's looking beyond Wolves at the moment, but do you now look at Forest and think, need a reaction? Or do you look at that after they beat Liverpool and does it suddenly look like a tough away game again?
I don't think it does. I think you'd still expect, at the moment, you'd still expect to go to Forest. I know they've just beaten Liverpool, but you still expect to go to Forest and get points there. But it always seems a bit, same with us. It's we get beat big and then there's a massive reaction and the next game we play amazing and then it all sort of goes a bit everyone sort of seems to sit back a little bit, then we get beat big and then we'll go out and have a performance. I mean the big loss obviously against Newcastle, and then we beat Brighton, and then you draw against Chelsea, and then you get absolutely dicked on by Aston Villa. So yeah, this weekend could be interesting, but whether they come back with a big performance, I don't know. So it's interesting.
A mentality issue, you think, then? I'm just even removing away and home, because Frank afterwards spoke after the Newcastle game. He's like, we'll get a reaction, no problem.
Yeah.
And he's given it to you. 4 points at home to Brighton, Chelsea, no goals conceded. Yep, that's the reaction.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Villa, the standard slip again for some reason.
To honest, maybe it's even like, well, my thinking then, it's like, you just asked me, obviously, did you think you're going to get points at Villa? Yes, I did. Did the players think they're going to get points at Villa? They probably did, to be honest. Maybe it's a bit of complacency going into the game thinking, well, Villa aren't playing very well. Oh, we're going to win this game sort of thing. Maybe even that point of view. I mean, the age of the team is still relatively young. And so where there's a little bit of overconfidence that we're playing well this year, we're doing all right. I mean, we're 10th in the table, and whether every so often they just need that bit of a kick of going, actually, it's only the second season in the Premier League and we're not quite Premier League experienced, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, are you quite happy with the start overall?
Yeah, great. I mean, there's been some great results in there. There's been some really poor results as well. Obviously, the Newcastle game, the Villa game. I mean, if you go back and look, obviously, getting beat by Fulham. Looking back on it now, you go, well, Fulham playing really well, so it's not so bad. But at the time, it was like promoted side, beat you 3-2. We've got players back now as well, where they've been out injured, and now they're back. You'd like to think that we'll start to get there, but we are missing. I mean, Christian Norgaard's the big miss, really. And I think that's one of the main reasons we're conceding a lot of goals when we concede goals, because he's just, I'd say he's probably our best player still, probably over and above Tony and Raya. But he just goes under the radar because he's defensive midfielder.
He doesn't for those of us who play Sky Fantasy. He might well do for FPL players.
Yeah.
But I think in that format, those of us have been aware of him, and particularly his ball-winning skills and his distribution, have been aware about him for quite a while, actually. I mean, he does chip in with the odd goal as well. Mm. How far away is he from being back? Has he got a chance this weekend, even?
I honestly have no idea. It just seems to be sort of one of those where you keep checking and it's sort of like, oh, he's out another week. And then they'll be like, oh, he's getting back onto the pitch and training. He's like, oh, no, he's not ready for this game. And honestly, I have no idea. I don't think he'll be ready for this weekend. I don't think we'll see him anytime soon from what I've heard. But unless you've seen something new, no. That I've not. So, no, I've not heard anything about him.
Bradley, what's going on, mate?
Titanic mess.
How bad is this situation? And obviously...
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah, well, no, I think we can see that, particularly after the Leicester result of the weekend and some of the scenes in the stadium as well, where obviously the fan base has turned. You've given Steve Davis, the club have come out and said that he's going to be manager until 2023, at least, which I had to double read the statement to make sure that they really were saying 2023, considering you've got two fixtures after the World Cup before 2023. But they said, no, into 2023. So we can assume he's doing at least the next five fixtures, or do you think that's going to change now?
It probably won't change, because I'll think, oh, we'll look like more twats than we currently am. So I'll just save face. They should change it, but they won't.
Is he capable on what you've seen so far? Like, I mean, he's done the victory against Forest.
No.
So what's his background? How has he ended up in caretaker charge? Was he part of Bruno Lage's backroom team? Who is he?
No, he works in like the academy levels with the other bloke whose name, I think, is James Collins. He was the under-23s coach.
Not to be confused with the ginger that used to play for West Ham.
No.
Okay.
So it's just them two. And to be honest, I can't even think of any other backroom staff we've got, apart from Tony Roberts, who's hung around after Bruno got sacked, and he's a goalie coach. Because I was doing the warm-ups with him on Sunday as well. It was weird. But like, you'd all see Jurgen Klopp and Guardiola like throwing them a ball to head. It's like Sunday league level stuff. Just weird. It just looks weird.
Yeah, no, I hear that. I mean, majority don't, but I guess it depends whether you fall under the line of manager or coach, and perhaps he's coach and he's also picking the team at the moment would be my best guess, mate.
Is he?
Well, that's going to be my next question. Even though he's interim manager, is he picking the team?
Probably, maybe it's half and half. But when the club have come out and said, I think it was on a podcast saying like Scott Sellers, the technical the technical director. He's helping on match day and stuff and all that sort of thing. That's really bizarre. And then the club have sort of denied it. And then you get, and I think you've seen the picture of the tactics board.
Yep, most of us would have seen it.
I mean, it's obviously a load of bollocks. I mean, why are you sitting there with a tactics board and an earpiece?
So, I think the club have come out and said, you correct me if I'm wrong, Bradley, the club have come out and said that he's helping, right?
I think it was on the Express and Star podcast where the guy who was on it sort of reluctantly come out with it. And I've noticed a lot of the Wolves media now people are start trying to protect sellers all of a sudden. So I think it was something that they particularly wanted to come out.
So for those who don't know, Scott Sellers is technical director. And I suppose he's been partly involved. And I feel like because of Mendes's involvement, it's only partly. But he's involved very much in the transfer negotiations, right? Is that fair? Or is it identifying players?
Because he come out and said, like when Bruno Lages said, like, if I don't like a player, then we probably won't sign the player either. But then the club, was it the club? No, I think it was the Athletic journalist. He said, like, oh, Scott Sellers isn't that involved. And I was like, well, he's come out the man's mouth himself. So which one is it?
It's just Tim Spires, is it?
No, it's a new one now. I think his name's Matt Maidley or something like that. So one of his, which one's lying?
So again, we are pre-recording this on Monday night, which I think, like, when we're speaking about Wolves, we have to be particularly careful here. But yes, there have been, an abnormally high number of journalists today that have come out in defence of sellers. I get the feeling the fans feel the complete opposite here, right?
Well, yeah, the trajectory of the football club's gone down as he's rise through it. And if he's supposed to be the technical director, along with the president, like with Jeff Shee, they're the ones who've got to carry the can because they're running the day-to-day running to the club.
So is Jeff Shee, is he the owner?
No. He's like, I'm sure his role is above. He like runs the day-to-day. I'm sure he might be the president.
So is he basically like the chairman, but not the owner, basically?
Yeah.
It's the Fossum family, the owners, right?
Yeah. His big boss is like Guo Guangcheng. That's the owner.
Right, okay. So at the weekend against Leicester, it's obviously turned in the stadium. And my understanding is a lot of the fans, I know you'd have been there, Bradley, a lot of the fans are chanting for Sellers to go. Is that right?
Yeah.
So do the fans believe that Sellers is picking the team?
They believe he's got too much interference and he's very much to blame for a lot of the things that's going on now. Because I don't know if you know, but Sace had like an interview with one of the big Wolves media things in the week. And he like sort of threw a bit more like fuel to the fire with Jeff Shee and Scott Sellers in the way like they run the club. The main line was dishonesty, and you can see that now in the media, the way they're saying, oh, he's not involved, and then pictures telling a different story.
So do you think the media are covering up currently that he's got too much say in what's happening with Football Maz, as in Sellers?
Yeah because they'll probably deny him access.
But isn't that, surely that comes from above? It's not Sellers, it's football club. Doesn't it come above him that he's being asked to be involved? Would that be fair?
Yeah, probably. But so, we don't. But Wolves is like a loony asylum at the moment.
What?
It's between Jeff Shee and Scott Sellers, who are like running it between them. So
why is the ownership escaping at the moment in terms of how the fans feel?
I don't think they am. I just think on this particular match, with a lot of the Sellers thing in the week, they've just chosen him that day.
So, yeah, for those who haven't seen, he's basically been pictured in, I guess, the media area at Molineux with monitors and tactics boards and an earpiece. As
a very shit tactic board.
I believe one of the chants that was going around on Sunday was Sellers, Sellers, make a sub.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. I thought if it goes bad today, I could see the chants coming.
Where are you sitting? Don't you sit in that part of the stadium?
Yeah, but I sit quite a way back. I'm not able to see that.
But you could go and ask him a question, couldn't you? Like, he's coming on next. Or
could tell him something, yeah.
All right, so on a serious, how does this get fixed, Bradley? What's next?
How does it get fixed? They're just going to have to get competent manager just to survive. That is it. And then there's going to have to be a big, like, rooting at the football club. Need a proper sporting director, because I think we're one of the few football clubs left that play in the top divisions of European football that doesn't have one.
And it's not compulsory. It doesn't work for everyone, but
it's better than what we've got.
Wait, is it, so what is Sellers then if he's not that?
Super coach, technical director, transfer man.
Which sounds like the same sort of thing with too much involvement without the title. Bruno Lage was sacked after the defeat at West Ham, where I think that was coming after the fans could audibly be heard at Stratford singing, "You don't know what you're doing."
Mm-hmm.
Would you not have just been better off just leaving him now? And what this is now?
No, because a normal football club should have the common sense of the manager ready to be replaced. Because he lost it with the players, so that was a toxic situation anyway. So
I'm guessing Lopetegui was first choice.
Yeah,
was potentially interested, but there's an issue. He's former Seville manager. There's an issue with his father's not very well at the moment. Do you think it could end up still being him that's going to be the next manager in a couple of months?
Not if we're marooned and looking like a dead dodo. I don't know why you'd do it.
I get the impression from what you're saying, Bradley, you think you might be a dead dodo.
I look like a dead dodo. It just stinks. I've seen it before with Wolves. Like, people say you've got too many good players to go down, but I've seen it before. When we was in the Championship, we had really good players for that level then, and we went. So I don't buy into it anymore. I can smell it.
I think you have some super footballers in the likes of Ruben Neves as just an example of one. But I don't think at this moment anyone does think that you're too good to go down, because you can't put a ball in
there,
mate. He's not giving you much chance of winning games. What have you scored? Four or five this
five.
Season?
Five. One's a penalty. One's a long ranger.
Two are bubbled in by Daniel Podence. And the other one was an Adama Traore header, which is about as rare as a Brentford away win this season as well, in fairness. In fact, there's more Adama Traore headers than Brentford away wins this season. So, Tom, how do you see it at Wolves? Do you look at them and think we're better than them now and they're not a concern, i.e. if you got into trouble?
At the moment, I mean, just listen to what Bradley says, yes. Like, you can't listen to what Bradley said and go, oh no, Wolves are still good, doing well. It's actually quite, I mean, I always see Wolves as the team that went up when we went up from like League One. So it's actually quite sad to see, to be honest, because I mean, I really like Wolves, to be honest, as a team. So, but yeah, I mean, you can't listen to, I mean, I watch football, but I don't watch Wolves religiously like Bradley. So, I mean, if Bradley's telling me it's all going to shit, then to be honest, all I can do is listen to him and tell him I'm sorry. So, I mean, at the moment, yeah, I mean, well, we can score goals. I mean, we're conceding goals, but we're scoring a lot of goals. So, I mean, that, and not quite the Leicester adage that you guys say when we got scored two just to get into the game.
No, you're not at that point, Tom. No, you're definitely not. Do you think part of your success as a football club is the way it's run?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's the only reason for our success. It's nothing to do with the players, to be honest. It's as stupid as that sounds. All those players have been bought in one by one. And if you go from start to finish, every player's been bought from some weird, I don't know, random Liga 2 football club in France or the deepest, darkest depths of Germany. So,
or Peterborough.
Or Peterborough, yeah. I mean, even Pinnock's from Forest Green Rovers. Like, they all come from somewhere. But the way it's ran, the way, I mean, I think it all starts with obviously like Matthew Benham being the owner of it. I mean, we were in big, big trouble when he took over. I mean, it was all looking absolutely disastrous for us. And to have someone who's actually a fan of the club come in and run the club, but not because, oh, I mean, obviously he's made an absolute shitload of money on it now, and that's absolutely fine. But he deserves to the way he's run the club. I mean, he's put in a load of money to start with. He's built us a new stadium. He's put in people who have run the club in the right direction. I mean, if you look at obviously like Phil Giles, who's, like Bradley said, well, Phil Giles, who's our director of football. And before that, obviously, Rasmus Ankersen, who was working with him, who's now at Southampton. Both of them bought and signed the correct players. And from that, and even then, put in the right people in charge. So when Dean Smith went, they didn't go, well, let's go find someone from outside. They went, well, Thomas Frank sat behind him and he can do the job. So they've put him in and they've trusted him. And when things started going badly at the start for him, I mean, I think we lost like 10 of the first 12 games under Thomas Frank.
It wasn't a good start, yeah.
It was awful. And but they looked at it and went, well, actually, we're playing good football. we shouldn't be losing these games. It's just not quite got there yet.
They'd looked at the data, hadn't they? That actually your expected points were much better than what you were getting in Frank's opening 10 games or so, and it went, it's coming. That's how they work the model of the club, isn't it?
Yeah, and so I mean,
they'd be analytics rather than Grass FC, wouldn't they?
Yeah. No, definitely sets that part of the meme culture. It's ran really well. I can only look at it and be pretty lucky, to be honest. I mean, we've been pretty lucky. If you look at how some of the teams have been run over the years, and we're sort of a profitable club in the Premier League, performing well and playing good football. Can it get better than this at the moment for us?
Well, I think it can, mate. Yeah. This I wouldn't say you've hit the ceiling. You know me, I've warned you a lot second season and stuff, but it's doing okay at the moment. And Bradley, touching on Tom's point there, when you came up with probably, I would say, one of the best teams that's ever come up because of the Portuguese contingent, the Neveses, the Jimenez obviously came in, the Mexican, Jota, and the typical, I named a non-Portuguese player. But you know what I mean? Is that large Portuguese contingent of quality footballers came up. Do you reflect on that period now and the promotion? And what did you finish? Seventh, I want to say, first season?
Yeah.
Was the club run well then? Or was it lucky?
It had a great recruitment that first summer.
And why has that changed now?
I think a lot of people just slowly left the football club from the top. From the top of my head, I remember Laurie Durample. I can't remember his exact job now, but he's like a good communicator. And we always felt like in touch with the club. Kevin Fellwell's left. He's gone to Everton. And these people, I don't think, have been replaced. I think they all just have gone, and that was it. And slowly but surely.
So it's just been slowly allowed to deteriorate. Almost like you've hit the promised land and that's it. The club's making its money, and if it now stays up, that's okay. Is that where the thought process is, do you think?
Couldn't be for what they bark on about their brand and stuff. You'd want more than a mid-table club. The way they bark on about it. Who cares if Wolves are a mid-table?
But it feels like, to get back to that bit where, I mean, it's only February. You came to my place and won. You lost very late at the Emirates. And before you lost at the Emirates, people were saying, I mean, it was a joke on our Slack, wasn't it? James, when are you going to start talking about Wolves for Europe? It feels like a lifetime ago, mate.
It does.
So how's it just gone so stale in 9 months?
I can't really put an exact finger on it, but sometimes just the decisions at the top and recruitment in and out can be a bit like letting everyone know about Cody Gobbin. In my opinion, I was fine with it as long as
they didn't replace him.
Yeah, that's it. And they didn't replace him with anybody that would have experience or any sort of leadership. And they let him go for a pittance. Like, they're saying, oh, he's done a lot for the club or whatever. And like, but that doesn't matter. It's a football club, not a charity. If Everton want him, they can pay the money for him. I don't care if he's happy, unhappy, sitting on the bench because the first time he's been challenged since he's come here for his place to play in a back four with a higher line. He's got to get on with it. He's contracted to the club. Stop crying.
How would you feel if you woke up tomorrow, Bradley, and Wolves had made an approach for Thomas Frank?
I'd be having a cold sweat thinking why they made a good decision. But knowing that, he won't leave Brentford. He's got it very good, well run. You don't have to deal with Jeff Shea or Scott Sellers. So.
Go on, Tom, respond to that.
I think Bradley's right, to be honest. I don't think Frank will leave. Obviously, he was linked with the Leicester job. The Villa job. I mean, he's linked to quite a few jobs recently.
Just to clarify, Monday night, we don't quite know what's happening with Villa at this stage, just in case.
No, sure, yeah.
we might be re-recording this.
Oh, yeah, I hope not. Well, I say, if he's now the new Villa manager, they're not going to lie. I might go cry in the corner for a little bit. Fine, I'll rephrase. I don't think he's going to leave. I don't think he has any intention to leave. He made it very clear in the press conferences he has absolutely no intention to leave. I think he likes being at the club. I mean, we all love him. You see idiots on Twitter and Instagram saying, after you lose 4-0, of course, but 99% of the fan base absolutely love him, think he plays good football, think tactically he's very astute. Yes, he changes up a lot, but I mean, to be honest, the majority of the time, he changes up incredibly well. I think for me, he's one of the best managers that's managed Brentford and has played the most enjoyable football to watch. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head that I've enjoyed watching more.
Oh, I mean, there's no reason you wouldn't want him. He's brought you into the Premier League and stabilised you. And
yeah. Well, there's talk of a new contract for him as well. That's been widely reported.
It should be, because he's... Yeah. I think more the point is, and I wasn't referencing that he would go to Wolves particularly, but he keeps getting linked with jobs when they're coming up. We're talking about the likes of Leicester and Villa, who, with respect to yourselves, Tom, are bigger clubs at the moment. It is a step at the moment. Why would he stay if these jobs really did, and we don't know that they have, but if these jobs really did come up?
Why would he go?
It's fair.
I mean, I can't see what benefit Thomas Frank would currently have going to Leicester or Villa. Obviously, no disrespect to them at the moment, but I mean, we're in the same boat, apart from the fact that they might have a bit more money to spend. But I mean, he only signed a new contract last year, to be honest. So, he's under a pretty big contract already. I think the new contract's really just to make him a bit more happy. But he's already said, you know, he's pretty happy. I think if he was going to go, it would have to be to, I'd say probably one of the top six, seven. Well, I don't think he'll go to anyone else. I can't imagine him going to anyone else at the moment. I mean, you know, I think, yeah, the likes of... But then also, I don't really see him being linked with those clubs. It's a bit of a weird one for me.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The sort of the Leicester Villa jobs, yeah, those sort of clubs are in between.
But yeah, I just don't see him... I don't see him going to any of those clubs at the moment with the way we're playing at the moment. I mean, it all started going a little bit downhill, and it comes back to the way we're run. Like, he just has it sort of like, he knows where he stands. There's no sort of like, I mean, you see sort of some managers go in and, you know, within a few years they start arguing all the management stuff. He clearly knows where he stands. I mean, he has input on the transfers, but he knows he's not in charge of transfers. Obviously, that's part of what the rest of the backroom staff does. He's more of a coach, I guess, than a manager, really, with obviously what he does. But yeah, I don't see at the moment why he would... Villa and... Let's, if we're just talking about Villa and Leicester, I mean, and Wolves, if we want to add that, obviously all three of them in, I don't see why he'd want to go to any one of those clubs at the moment.
No, very fair. How do you see them as a club, Bradley?
Just really solid. Just solid and hate playing against them.
Okay.
Which is a compliment.
You beat them last time, mate.
Yeah, it's always a big, tough match. Like, when they come to Molineux last season, we got absolutely bullied. I remember just watching Ivan Toney going, Jesus, man, this bloke is a proper centre-forward. He absolutely battered us.
So, talk of the devil. What system are you going to play at the weekend, Tom?
It's got to be four at the back. It's got to be. I honestly, just like... When we lined up five at the back against Villa, I was like, that's the first time I've ever gone, what's Thomas Frank been smoking this weekend? Because he must have had a party after the Chelsea game or something.
Might have got offered the Wolves job.
Yeah.
Phased him.
I mean, we were playing a Villa team who hadn't scored any goals when we played five at the back. It just really didn't make any sense. So, it's got to be four at the back. And again, disrespect for Wolves, but I mean, they've only scored five goals this season. And if we play five at the back, I just don't see what benefit that would give us. So, yeah.
I think it allows you more control. I think, obviously, look, you came up, you basically played it for the first three quarters of last season, basically a back three. Then you changed to a back four once Eriksen came in, and you had a great finish to the season. This season, it's kind of been on trend. Slowly, we've been working. Okay, it looks like it's back three when you're playing one of the big six, yeah, or like you're going to Newcastle, something like that. So then it was a surprise that he stayed with the back three
at
Villa, because I thought, Brighton, they'll have a lot of the ball. He'll go back three, tough game. You went with a four. You changed to a three against Chelsea. Okay, it's back-to-back clean sheets, but different systems. Okay, it's a four at Villa. No, it's a back three. So I'm confused.
Me too. I think Pinnock being back is I mean, why I think we'll go back four again, back to a back four. I think Pinnock being back is massive for us. Aya didn't have his best game against Villa, but again, he's very important. He's back, and with Benmi as well. But I mean, Benmi got rested, and Benmi did get rested against.
So Benmi had a bit of an ankle knock, didn't he, at the weekend?
I thought it was just. Was it? Okay, I missed that bit.
Yeah, he said he'd had an ankle knock, and they didn't take a risk, and that's why he was subbed.
Yeah, well then, I mean. with the way Alia played on the weekend, I wouldn't be surprised if Benmi is back fit, then it'd be Benmi and Pinnock in the middle. I mean, it's a very good defensive partnership. Pinnock's been, apart from his first game back, where he had an absolute stinker. Apart from that, he's been very good. So, yeah, we'll see. And I wasn't great on the weekend. Benmi's been excellent, I think, all year for us. So,
you know what I'm going to say about Tony, don't you?
Go on.
That he's much better off in when you play a back four.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this right or not?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it definitely is.
Have you ever done the statistics on it?
I haven't, but I mean, you just look at the sort of the chances they get. I mean, if you look on the best chance in the Chelsea game, all fell to Mbeumo. The only real chance that fell to us in the Villa game fell to Mbeumo, and we were playing a back five or back three. When Tony plays on his own,
Tony had chances against Chelsea, though, didn't he, mate?
He did. Yeah, I mean, he had a few, but the best chances. I mean, Mbeumo header from like literally 2 meters out. How he managed to not put it anywhere apart from Kepa, really should have scored that. Tony did have his chances. He was put through a couple of times, but Tony just seems, when he is playing that back three, just gets drawn back a little bit too much. I mean, there was times in the Chelsea game where he's on the left wing, like he's just like trying to get the ball.
He links the play, doesn't he? It's like, yeah, he takes on two jobs. Is how,
and he's great at it. And I mean, he is. It's fantastic. I mean, it works for the team, but from a FPL point of view, and I'm talking really from a goal scoring, for us as a goal scoring point of view, really only, I think, sad as it is for me at the moment, because I do really like him, I think Mbeumo does need to get put on the bench a couple of times because he's just not really on it at the moment. Okay. Maybe have a Visser up there instead.
Just elaborate on that quickly on Mbeumo.
He plays a lot better on the wing. I've always said that he's a better winger than he is a striker.
Agreed.
And he was sort of pushed into that striker role last year because we didn't have another striker. Visser always comes on. I mean, he didn't have his greatest, you know, sub appearance on the weekend, but whenever he seems to come on, he puts himself about, and I think he's just deserved of a chance. Obviously, we sign Kinos Potter as well, and he's been injured, so I mean, he's not really had a chance to come through. And Damsgaard's now got fit, and he's not really been given too much of a chance. And we stuck with Mbeumo, which again is something I really like about Frank, because he keeps on with those players to sort of, you know, try and build their confidence and get them back in. But I do think he needs to have just a couple of games, maybe just to sit out, because he just isn't quite on the ball at the moment.
Okay, that's interesting. I feel you can probably correct me, Tom, but I feel like Keen Lewis-Potter, Damsgaard and Visser all better from the left.
Yeah.
And Mbeumo better from the right. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's probably definitely part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, if they've even tried De Silva on the right wing this year at points. So, yeah, I mean, I don't really know at the moment. So,
God, that train slowed down after game week two, didn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. I've not really spoken about it since. I don't want to get beaten up for it. So,
no, you're okay. You're not going to get beaten up, mate. But I will give you these Tony stats because I've run the numbers.
Go on.
He's got 20 goals in 45, 20 Premier League goals in 45 games for Brentford. He missed a spell of about three games last season, I think, three or four games. 20 goals in 45 is very good.
Yeah,
particularly for a side who got promoted last year.
Yeah, you know,
really definitely good. 13 goals in 16 games when you played a back four.
Okay.
7 in 29 when you play a back three or a back five.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So basically just scores more goals from a back four.
Well, he's
a lot more.
He becomes a 3 in 4 in a back four.
Yeah.
And he becomes a 1 in 4 in a back three slash back five.
It's like what I've always said when I've come on with you. I mean, he just gets to sit in the box and do what he does best, which is poach goals. I mean, when we came up from the Championship, he hadn't scored a goal from outside the box. I still am unsure. Oh, no, the free kick. Yeah, the free kick. He has now scored a goal from the outside the box. But
and the Leeds chip, the hat trick.
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course. Absolutely. I mean, but before that, he hadn't scored a goal from outside the box. Up until the end of last season, I don't think he had scored a goal from outside the box. This year's his first goal is outside the box. And that's what he does. He gets in the box. He causes an absolute nightmare to defenders. He's big. He's strong. He can score headers. He's good control. But that he's a poacher. He's not a, and he does do the link-up play great. And when he's asked to do that, he does it fantastically. But if he does that, then we need to have another striker with him and not play Mbeumo, who's a right winger, who doesn't really work in that position, I don't think.
The caveat to them numbers, obviously, you go, oh my God, for him, it's got to be a back four. And most people have known this anyway without diving into the numbers deeply. it is worth saying that the majority of those games again with a back three, and obviously particularly the ones this season, have been the tougher fixtures.
Yeah, sure.
Bar the Villa game, which obviously proved to be a very tough fixture in hindsight. So there is that, but yeah, he's definitely better off in a back four. You think back four at the weekend against Wolves?
I think so, yeah. I'd be surprised if it wasn't, especially after getting beat so convincingly against Villa. It would be a surprise if we stuck with back 5-3.
I presume you still own him in FPL, Tom?
I do indeed.
Captain? Well, there you go. You answered that unanimously.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
Well, they've just conceded four.
Yeah, so have we.
Well, no, I get that. But you don't have to worry about that going the other way, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an annoying Norwegian man that unfortunately just causes me no end of pain. So I don't think I'll be doing
it's
that.
Very very harsh on the Egyptian, but okay, we'll move along now. What I did want to ask you about him, he's obviously got Wolves at home, Forest away, and I know you, Tom, you obviously won't sell. There's one game, Man City away against Haaland City, in game week 16. Yeah. When you get there, are you looking at a 1 week punt for something else?
Yeah, I am. I'm still undecided whether I'll do it or not because because his value's gone up so much as well. Is if I do punt him out, then I'm going to lose quite a lot of money because I am going to buy him back in for 17. We all know that. So, yeah, I'm looking at it. Probably will do. I still own David Raya as well. So that's also whether I keep him for
Who's your other keeper?
Iverson, because I thought I'd take the punt on the 3.9.
Okay, that went well.
Didn't it at all?
I mean, the thing is with a Raya at Man City, you might get. Even if you get pummeled, he might get 3-4 points, right?
Conceded 4 goals on the weekend, still got 2 points.
Yeah, it's decent, isn't it?
He's
been a very good asset.
Oh, he's been ridiculous.
Are you telling me you've only got 2 Brentford at the moment then?
I do. I only got 2 Brentford at the moment.
No.
I know. It's awful, isn't it?
Because last time we spoke, me and Sean, and I took the mick out of Sean last week on COTC, me and Sean were taking the mick out of you because you couldn't get the Tony.
Yeah, because I had the silver.
You forced him in just in time for the hat trick against Leeds, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Literally, I got him in. I think it was the week before. I got him in for the week before. He blanked, and I was like, oh, for God's sake, should have. And I think Mbeumo scored actually as well. I was like, oh, here we go. Classic. Changed it around. And then he got him in for the hat trick. So, yeah. Raya's good. Tony's good. I'd be maybe tempted with a defender because there's no good cheap defenders at the moment. I know we just got Pummel 4-0, but...
Is it Henry still if you're going in?
I think it's Pinnock, actually.
Okay, interesting. Do you think he's a lock to stay in at the moment? Is there any doubt on that? If you go to a back four and me comes back in, who's his partner?
Pinnock at the moment. Yeah. I mean, only because I was very poor on the weekend. And I can also play at the right-back position with Hickey out injured. Yeah, with Hickey out injured, I'd imagine I goes to right-back because Rosliff also didn't shine himself in light. On the weekend, and I had seen actually it's been a right back when he's played this year. So with Hickey out injured, I'd imagine him moved to the right, and obviously Pontus is out injured as well. So I'd imagine it'll be me and Pinnock in the middle.
So if anyone's looking for a very short term and asking about Mr. Zanka, I'll call run-ins 4.0. Okay, fine.
I mean, he actually has played quite well since he's been in, but it's going to be one of those where if you want to play him for those two games, don't. Bother because it might be he plays one and doesn't play the other, might be he plays none of them. He could play both, but I'd be very surprised if he does because we have better centre backs.
I assume no one owns De Silva anymore. He's actually now dropped to 4.3, which I'd not even realised it had fallen that far. That's not an option, unfortunately, at the moment, is it? With the performances of Andreas Pereira and stuff,
you know how much I love him. I mean, I've banged on for about 2 years, but he's been really poor this season.
Okay.
Start of the season, obviously, scored the goals, looked great since then. Since Norgaard's been out, where he's had to do more of the defensive work. So when he was coming on previously, he'd go on, he'd just attack, go forward, didn't have to do much going back. Now he's been sort of, when he was tasked with more of the sort of, you know, ball winning midfield, it sort of just went a bit to shit for him. So would probably, wouldn't go there. I mean, Pereira, you've got Pereira and other 4.5 mil midfielders that are doing much better than him at the moment. Well, actually getting at least appearance points.
Fine. One final FPL question on assets. I'm a Dominic Solanke owner, similar price to Mbeumo. I do have money in the bank, but if I didn't and was desperate to get rid of Solanke...
Who have Bournemouth got next?
My team.
How have they?
That's why I'm not desperate to get rid of him. It's just a hypothetical.
I don't hate it. I mean, I don't hate it. I just don't think it's really where you'd want to go. I mean, yeah, if it's a 2-week punt, then, I mean, feel free. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else at that sort of price range. Probably it's going to be better. He just isn't.
Probably really... Edouard at Palace, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he just isn't quite. He's getting in the positions. He's just not taking a chance at the moment. I don't really know. I think it's, as I said with him last year, he's a confidence thing and he's a confidence player. And if he if he sticks one in the back of the net, I wouldn't mind betting that he puts the next couple in. But yeah, at the moment, just not quite on it.
Is someone else affordable? Bradley?
Who?
Diego Costa. It's 5.5. Eight efforts on goal against Leicester at the weekend. Although they were all back passes, from what I could tell.
Yeah.
Is he a short-term option here?
What, for the team that never scores?
Well, I suppose it's on him to score, isn't it?
Yeah, no, don't bother. It's anything okay. Against team, it's just... He ain't looked that bad, actually, to be honest.
Okay. I mean, he needs fitness, doesn't he? He needs legs.
Yeah.
You are better for having him in there as a focal point. You could see that as early as the West Ham game.
Yeah, yeah. His aggression and just... To be honest, he's got more balls than half the team as well. He's already, like, barking orders at people, which... The look at him, some of the players look at him like, what are you saying that for? And like, well, you need to kick up the arse. Someone's got to give it to you.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And look, he's an experienced player. He's won at the top level. Have you got any Brentford, Bradley?
Yeah, Raya and Tony. They've had for a decent while now.
Keeping, I take it?
Yeah, I'll just keep him.
Tony captain at the weekend just for the crack? Or
no. Haaland. You just can't. No bet against Haaland.
Okay, fair enough. What was your thoughts on that with those two players for the game week 16, Bradley?
Not the Solanke one.
No, Tony and Raya, when they go to Man City, the final day before Unlimited.
Oh. Is this for Sky or FPL?
No, for FPL, you plonker.
Oh. I'll swap Raya for Ward in my team. And okay, just bench Tony for Pereira. So
I wouldn't tell you. Fair enough. You might want to when you get there. I have to say that the players you'd be interested in, Mitch Fisher's got United at home if you remove. Schumacher's got Leicester at home.
I've already got Mitch Fisher.
The Schumacher one, Leicester, doesn't look quite as appealing as it might have because of Leicester recently, but I guess that could change recently. I'm going to assume, Bradley, there's no Wolves players in your squad.
There actually is.
Oh, God.
Kilmer. He got a clean sheet against Forest. That was his P. I'd need to sell him there.
So you got him in for as part of the thinking for the blank week. So I'll take you played him against Forest and Palace, did you?
Yeah.
You trying to sell him now, are you?
I've got to have to. So it's just dead weight.
Is it though?
Yeah.
bar the conceding four at the weekend, you're right defensively normally.
I don't know.
This weekend, Jose Sol was the highest scoring goalkeeper in the game, mate.
Got two penalty saves to his name, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I got that. And that's why Dean Henderson's now the most, because he's got a couple of them as well, which does help, don't get me wrong. But you don't normally fall away like you did at the weekend, mate.
No, but when it's looking like it is, it don't take much. I know Ivan Toney's going to give us absolute carnage on Saturday. He'll score.
It's very much noted. Talk to me about Hugo Bueno.
He's all right. I've talked about him for a bit. Is he on the Wolves Slack anyway?
He's 3.9. If someone needs to find something to sit on the bench to enable something else, do you think he will stay in the team at the moment?
Probably not, just because of his age. And it's not his fault, but we've got like Nuri there as well. So it's hard to predict for him if he'll stay in the team or not.
Okay, I'm not going to ask you to tip up any Wolves assets, mate. What's happening with Jimenez?
He's having a nice holiday in Mexico.
Is that what this is?
Apparently, he's to rehabilitate from his injury, which is bizarre.
And getting ready for the World Cup?
Yeah, and then he'll probably be sold in January or something to an MLS club. He's not even tweeted or like said anything about Wolves since he's been there, but he's been tweeting about like Club America, I think it is. It's really weird. It is really weird.
Is that a sad parting of the ways coming now?
I think so. It's just like the on Wolves Twitter, everyone thinks there's something weird with that. And I even saw one of the Wolves journalists like think about it. Like, it is weird. I don't know how many other clubs just let a player go to their home country for that long to rehabilitate.
It depends what the issue is. And
but
I don't
see
know.
What the issue
it seems
could be
very
to
hush
be there.
Hush.
Yeah, that's what's weird. It's wrong. If it is like that, it's really wrong on Raul and Wolves for letting it happen.
I think it's very sad that he's not recovered to the player that he was prior to the horrendous injury. I also think it's worth noting that if he is taking some sort of a holiday out there, the football club could do with him at the moment. Despite the fact he's not the player that he was 2 years ago, he still is a decent player, and you've needed a target player. And just having Costa in there, I think has shown that at least having something in the box might be creating things for others. Yeah, it's sad if it ends that way and it's a bit bitter, but something with that story, just, it doesn't add up.
No, if he turns up for Mexico first day, or match day of the World Cup, then you'd be like, hold on.
Well, by the sounds of it, that is what's going to happen, isn't it?
Mexico mustn't have any strikers then, because he's been pony for like ages. So I don't know why he'd even start up from at this point.
He'll get the winner against Argentina at the World Cup, won't he? Tom, any Wolves players in your squad, mate?
No. I did actually think about getting Kilman in for the Forest game as well, to be fair. If that makes you feel a bit better, Bradley. I did think about it.
You missed out on some points.
Yeah, exactly. That's also, they haven't been conceding many goals, so I did think about it, because there's so little defenders in the game to choose from at the moment, it seems to be.
Do you know what, Bradley? I'm surprised you did it to yourself, so I'm pleased that it returned for you, mate. Well done. Thanks so much, guys. That's thoroughly interesting. Before I let you go, let's do correct score predictions. Tom?
If we play a four-back, 2-0.
If you don't?
0-0.
I'll take 0-0.
Bradley?
2-0.
To Brentford. Yeah, I think I go the same at the moment. I fear for you in front of goal, Brad. I'm fearful as well that I think the club needs to come a renege on what they've said and sort it out, because Brentford away is a game you can get something in, as is Brighton at home, as is Arsenal at home. It's just in the sense that it's a 7:45 kickoff on a Saturday night, and the crowd will get up for it. Last game, no matter what's happening, I think last game before you finish for the World Cup, the crowd will get up for it. Then the fixtures ain't easy on the other side, mate. There's not Everton away, United at home, Villa away, and you go, oh, Everton, Villa, it's all right, yeah, but they're both away. Mm-hmm. West Ham at home, Man City away, Liverpool at home. It's tough
so
fixtures
need a
on the other
man.
Side as well.
No, we'll stay until January.
I don't think we'll be having many Wolves players on our unlimited unless Bueno's completely locked himself down as a 3.95 defender. I can't see where we'd look at the moment. Worth saying, Tom, you got a difficult couple straight after as well. Tottenham at home, West Ham away, Liverpool. I'm difficult Christmas period for you as well.
Be easy. It's 9 points there.
I look forward to it, mate. I'll see you there at 12:30 on Boxing Day.
Yeah, Boxing Day, isn't it? Boxing Day.
At whatever your stadium's called this year. Which
Oh, the G-Tech. It's a beautiful place.
I've literally forgotten what it was called last year.
Oh, the Brentford Community Stadium, and now
What do you call it? We're going down to G-Tech. What do you call it?
It was the Brentford Community Stadium, and now it's the G-Tech Community Stadium. It's like, oh, we're gonna give it a new name and make it just as long as the old name.
So what do you say? Scan Brentford, or like, what do you say? Oh, going Putney Bridge. What do you say?
I'll go down the game style. I don't even talk about the stadium name anymore. It's too embarrassing.
Bradley. Yeah. You're not the only team to lose 4-0 at home at Molineux this year. I saw England in the summer as well, mate. Right, brilliant stuff. Tom, where can everyone follow you on the bird app, mate?
I am FPL Dummy Tom.
Fantastic. And promote your podcast.
Yes, I do the FPL Wear Dummies podcast, which comes out every Monday evening.
Stuff. So. And I have promised Tom an appearance on that prior to game week 17 as well. Bradley, where can everyone follow you, mate?
At Parker_Bradley.
Good man. Anything you want to promote other than Bleach?
Bleach. Just don't go to Molineux to watch football. Unless you're the opposition fan, then carry on.
Good luck. Good luck to both of you at the weekend, lads. Thanks so much. Next week's Clash of the Correspondents. Yes, he's back. Sean Norton's going to be back putting Alex Iwobinio right in my face after I poo-pooed it last week. It's Everton against a revitalised Leicester City. Sean Norton and Aaron Lager on Clash of Correspondents next week. Two teams who may well be worth having a quick look at for game weeks 15 and 16. Just leaving me to say thanks again to Tom and to Bradley. Good luck this weekend, gents. Cue music, please, Manchild.
Fantasy Football Show.